Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to LifeRemixedRadio.com. This week is Authors Week, so
wake up! Take the pillow from your head and put a book in it! It's time for
LifeRemixedRadio.com.
What's up, everybody? Today is Wednesday, August 6th, and I am so happy you are joining me today. As you know, today is Authors Week. Today, we are celebrating authors all this week. Today is the Wednesday as part of our Authors Week. Oh, my goodness. I guess today is hump day. I'm going on vacation this weekend, everybody, but I'll be back. I'm going to do the show remotely, so I'll be broadcasting. I won't be broadcasting live from New York City. I'll be broadcasting live from X. I will be still doing the show, but I just won't be doing it here in the office. That's the coolest thing about technology and all this Skype and internet and all that cool stuff. So it's just a good thing, just a good thing. Today I'm going to walk you through just a couple really simple steps, just 10 ways to become a self-published author and self-publish your book. I did it. I've done it many times just because I wanted to get a quote-unquote publishing deal, and then I'm like, you know what, I can do this on my own. It's not that difficult. It took a lot of research. Let me tell you that. It was not an easy process, but I did it. And, you know, I'm here to share some information with you, share some knowledge, really kind of walk you through how to make this week happen. This is just an amazing week where we're celebrating authors, where we are just kind of big upping authors who've written their own books, authors who are doing their thing. Yesterday we had Carl Agard on the show. Oh, my goodness. He has Getting the Real Out of Real Estate, Getting the Real Out of Starting Your Own Business. And there was, oh, he has another one, Getting the Real of Getting Your Credit Fixed. So he was just an amazing guest yesterday, and he really dropped a lot of knowledge and information. And it was so funny because when we were interviewing him, he was on the run, and he called in, and he was walking down 34th Street in Manhattan just trying to find a quiet place to do the show. So I made a recommendation. So that was really amazing. And on Monday we had Dr. Aldewan Tart, who talked about how to find How to Date Mr. Right, and his book is just phenomenal. It's blowing up the charts. You can get all those books on Amazon.com. Tomorrow, I have the absolute pleasure of speaking with Ms. April Silver, and it's so funny because I have spoken virtually through email with April, I want to say maybe almost 10 years. She's in Brooklyn, I'm in Manhattan, and we've never met. I just don't even know how that's possible. So we're going to talk to her tomorrow. She edited a book about black men and fathers, and it's really doing big things. She works with Kevin Powell, who's now running for Congress. Yeah, I think we've got to get Kevin Powell on the show. So, you know, that's a good thing. And Friday we talked to Felicia Pride. She has just an amazing book out as well, and it's so cool because we did the first half of the week with the guys, and the second half of the week we're doing with the ladies, so I don't want anybody saying there's no equal representation. We have everybody on the show, so I just want to say hello to everybody. It's just a great week. Life is good, and we're just going to jump right into 10 simple steps to becoming a self-published author. But before we do, oh, Rocco just hit me up in the chat room. Hey, Rocco, let me just type you back. Hey, Rocco, thanks for joining us. And I want to say hey to Tom with Ficklin Media Group because I see he joined in. And, of course, Dropping Seed Radio. Hello. So everybody that's with us in the chat room, thank you for joining us. Definitely, definitely appreciate it. So let me just find our daily thought for today. Zoop, 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 zoop. Here we are. Okay. Today is Wednesday. Yeah, I said that already. All right. Oh, this is a nice one. I never read them first, so this is good. Our daily thought coming from Hillside Chapel and Truth Center out of Atlanta, Georgia, reads as follows. My life is good and beautiful. I allow my mind to envision positive images. I see my life as it is meant to be, good and beautiful. Whatever you see yourself being, doing, or having is first a picture you form in your mind. You are always picturing people, places, and events in your mind's eye. Be sure to create positive imagery. Praise God for the abundant blessings you receive. Lift your awareness and recognize your perfect gifts God has for you. I am thankful for the presence and the power of God in me as me. I give thanks for family, friends, and harmony in all of my relationships. I thank God for good and beauty in my life. Life is good. Life is beautiful. Life is prosperous. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And our scripture for today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is in any praise, think about these things. So I guess, you know, we have to always look at the good in everything, and I guess it basically boils down to when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. You know, it's tough sometimes. This is tough times for a lot of people, and it's funny because my grandmother was in the hospital in January, and I may have mentioned this once before. She accidentally fell in the middle of the night and fractured her hip, very, very small hairline fracture. My grandmother just turned 87 this spring. Well, when they took her to our local hospital here in Jersey, she kept saying, well, I don't want to go up there. I don't want to stay. I hope they don't keep me. These people are horrible. They don't take good care of you. And I just remember telling her, that doesn't apply to you. And I don't even know where I had the fortitude to say that from. I just remember saying to her, that doesn't apply to you. And so anytime she would get the thought that, oh, the doctors are lousy, and she has very good doctors. You know, doctors are allowed to practice or, you know, in certain hospitals. I kept telling her, it doesn't apply to you. And sure enough, she received the absolute best care. They had to put her in, like, a rehabilitation place. She had this big, beautiful private room overlooking the park. And finally, when we got home, she says, you know, I'm really glad God brought me through. And I said, you know, I told you it doesn't apply to you. And it's just so funny because even though there are things that we see physically around us, we don't have to have them or allow them to manifest themselves in our lives. And I guess, you know, it just speaks to changing your perception. So that's my little thought for today. Just, you know, I'm here to just kind of encourage myself. You know, you all think I do this for you and for the greater good of humanity and the greater good of mankind. Nah, I just kind of do it to make sure I stay on track each and every day. So that's pretty funny. But anyway, we're just going to jump right into it. We have a great show. I do a lot of work preparing these shows. I'm up pretty early in the morning, and I think Mr. Tom, who's in the chat room, is definitely aware of that because we talk every morning at 8 o'clock, and by the time he and I speak, he's one of the agents for my Platinum Speakers Bureau. Actually, he's a client services manager. By the time he and I chat at 8 o'clock, I've already been up for about 2 or 3 hours working, so it's all good. But I prepared today's show just because I received so many inquiries on how do I write a book, how do I put a book together, and I want to demystify what this whole process is. You know, people make it look scary, people make it look, no, I don't want to say spooky or scary, I don't think those are the most appropriate words, but people make it look bigger than it really is so they can charge you these exorbitant amounts of money and suck you dry. I'm tearing down the veil. I'm tearing down the veil right now through this conversation because it's not as difficult as you think. First of all, just remember when you were in school and your teacher told you a sentence is a group of words put together to express a complete thought. That's how I memorized it, and I still remember it to this day. A sentence is a group of words put together to express a complete thought. Well, a book is the exact same thing. It's just a bunch of words put together to make chapters to express a complete thought. And really, that's what it is. It is words that look pretty on the page, that have a message with a cover and a barcode. And once you realize what it really, really is, it makes it a lot easier to wrap your brain around the concept of putting a book together. I think I also have to say that when you decide to write a book or when you decide to put a book together, use it as a tool and a resource to fuel your other endeavors. If you're a pastor, and I work with tons and tons of pastors, if you're a pastor, use it as a way to minister to your congregation during the week or when they cannot physically be in a church building. If you are an entrepreneur, use it to validate yourself. Use your book to validate yourself as a successful entrepreneur, business coach, what have you. So a book, writing a book can serve many, many purposes. So first thing we have to do when putting the book together before we get into the actual 10 steps of writing a book is just as you develop your manuscript, you write your thoughts down. Here's quick tips on how to get your manuscript done. First, get a three-ring binder. I always recommend a three-ring binder to anybody that's writing a book. I do not recommend you starting to write your book on a computer. I firmly recommend you take plain loose-leaf paper, the kind of paper that you can buy, now that it's back to school time, get a three-ring binder and buy a bunch of tabs. They've got tabs where it's 5 in a pack or 8 in a pack or something like that. Buy 2 or 3 of those and your three-ring binder. You can purchase all of this for less than $10. Now, what you do is here's why I recommend a three-ring binder versus a computer. I want you to understand why I say what I say. When you're writing a book and your creative juices start flowing, thoughts are going to come to you any time of the day or night. And you don't want to miss an opportunity to jot thought down just because you don't have access to your computer or you can't turn your computer on at that moment. If you are walking with a three-ring binder, be it soft, be it hardcover, you always have access to your book and to your manuscript. And what happens is once you really start to write, you're going to find inspiration from so many different places. So get yourself a three-ring binder. Get yourself a couple of pens, pencils. Keep them handy. When I'm writing a book, my manuscript, my binder actually sits next to my head, so that way if I have a thought, I can write it down right away. Now, what you do is every time a thought comes to you, you write it on a blank piece of paper. Just one thought, that independent thought, write it on the top of the paper. You know how they have the big space at the top of the paper, and leave it alone. Now, if you get more thoughts to expound on that particular idea, then by all means, write it out. And writing is very therapeutic. Writing is going to help you expand your ideas and your thoughts. So write it out and leave it alone. The next time a thought comes to you, do not continue on that same piece of paper. Get a fresh piece of paper. Because what's going to happen is as you do this for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 6 months, however long you have opted to take to write your book, these more likely than not will become your chapters or sub-chapters within a chapter. And you want to make sure that your independent thoughts are such that you can move them around in your binder when it comes time to start developing new chapters. So, for instance, if you have a thought of an idea, let's just take business, starting a business. You may have a thought on how to write your marketing materials. And right after that, you get another thought on writing a business plan. You do not run your business plan thoughts on the same piece of paper as your marketing, because that will eventually be a second chapter. Now, here's the beauty of using a three-ring binder. If you have a thought a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now about marketing plans, now you go back to your pages that have your marketing information. Do you see where I'm going with this? You're going to start controlling your thoughts and organizing them in such a way that when you're ready to sit down at a computer, you already have your thoughts in stage one organized in a stage one phase, so you can start writing in a coherent way. I don't recommend just sitting at your computer and typing and writing a book. If that's what works for you, then rock on with your bad self. But I'm sharing with you what works, what I have taught, and what people have come back to tell me that has worked successfully for them in getting their thoughts out of your brain and onto paper. One of the first things everyone says, well, Saida, the hardest part is starting to write. Well, yeah, this makes it easier, because now you'll start to see your words manifest themselves into ideas and broader concepts once you see it on paper. And the coolest thing is, being that it's on a three-ring binder and not necessarily on a laptop, you can take your binder anywhere you go, in a doctor's office, on the bus, on the subway, wherever you are, and you have a thought, you can immediately implement it into your binder. So that's how that goes. Once you start writing, you now have to go into having your book edited. I would consider that to probably be like step two. So step one is really getting your manuscript done. Step two would be to have your book edited. But you can't have your book edited until you have enough material for someone to critically look at your work. I had my book edited, and I tell everybody this, and they laugh at me, by my really, really smart friend, Donna. Donna is just, she's smart, she's articulate, she knows what she's doing, and she understands English. But here's where the hiccup happened between Donna and I. Just by hearing my show, I'm sure you understand, I talk with a lot of slang, and it's just how I am. You know, I toss in a y'all or whatever every now and again. But Donna speaks King's English. So even though she's my really, really smart friend, Donna, when she edited my book, she chopped my entire book up. And things came back, and it lost its meaning. So when you're finding an editor, make sure you find someone who has the same style and flavor as yourself, or else you're going to lose a lot of what your book is about, and you don't want to do that. There's two ways to have your book edited. You can have your book edited for content, where they actually make the story flow better, or you can have your book edited just for grammatical and spelling errors. I recommend finding somebody who can edit it for both. It may cost you a little bit more, but I firmly recommend it, because everybody's going to read your story from a different eye, from a different perspective, and you want there to be some level of continuity and some level of consistency. So just try to, you know, have just as few people work on your book as possible, but just make sure they're smart and they know what they're doing. Once you have your book edited, you are going to work on your inside design and layout. And the funny thing is, you may have to go back and edit it again, and I'll tell you why. I had my book edited after I did the manuscript, and then I went to lay my book out. But I want my book to look a particular way. So I want all of my chapters to start on the right-hand side of the book. So when you open the book, boom, you're looking at a new chapter. Well, when you have your book edited, it's typically edited on 8.5 by 11. So when you go to lay out the book, all of my books are 8.5 by 5.5. It's shifted. So what I had to do is go back and add things and take out paragraphs. So you may have to do a 3A. So step one would be to write it. Step two would be to edit it. Step three would be the design and layout. But 3A would probably be to go back and have it moderately edited again, just to make sure you haven't thrown the flavor or style of the book off. So I recommended that, because I just had it, you know, checked again, but I knew I wanted my book to look a certain way, and I couldn't, that wasn't a viable option just because the way the book was laid out, it shifted the pages. Step four would be to copyright your book. Copyright is real simple. All a copyright is your exclusive legal right to reproduce your work and sell it, or do whatever you want with it. But it's the exclusive legal right. This is the exact language, the exclusive legal right to your own work. Some people say you can do a poor man's copyright where you mail it to yourself. Just do it the right way. I mean, you can do that, but if you're going to write a book and you want to become an author, do it the right way. I do want to advise, there is currently a 6-month wait to get your copyright back. So to get your copyright back, it does take about 6 months. So just do it the right way. Follow, you know, dot your I's, cross your T's, and have it done correctly. Next would be your cover design and layout. This is what sells your book. This is where you can't cut corners. I spent so much money. I had 3 different covers for my book, and finally found somebody who designs party flyers to do all of my book covers. And even though my books are for God and for church and for faith, he still gave me some really good covers because he's looking at it from a marketing eye. Originally, I was going to, quote unquote, book people to design my covers, and they were horrible. This, do not skimp in this area. This is what sells your book. This is what's going to differentiate your book from others that are on the shelf. Get a good cover. Get yourself some professional photos. You know, you can even do it with a digital camera and have your friend, the person who's going to do your cover, fix it, zhuzh it up a little bit, but do it top-notch. even if you have some spelling errors. I remember I wrote my book and I found an error and I thought I was going to die. But then I read one of Donald Trump's books, and on page 217 in Think Big, there's three spelling errors. So this man can afford top-notch everything, and I found three errors on one page, page 217 of one of his books. So even if there are a couple errors peppered in throughout your book, don't skimp on your cover. Please don't. Once you do that, you get your ISBN. You can get that from Bokers, B-O-W-K-E-R-S. This, you need this number if you want to be in bookstores and you want to sell retail. Just for reference, by the way, I don't recommend putting your book in bookstores. That is the worst place to sell a book, in my honest opinion, because now it's self-published. You have all your money spread out in all these stores all over the country. You now have to market all over the country, whereas if you stick with a particular region, if you stick with a particular geographical area or a particular segment, you'll sell a lot more books. But in order to get your books in bookstores, you do need an ISBN. I happen to sell ISBNs and barcodes for $95. So if anybody's ever interested and they want an ISBN and a barcode and they don't have the money to buy 10 of them, which is the minimum from Boker, just give me a buzz or shoot me an email, sb@cybrown.com, and I can get you an ISBN and a barcode. So that's really easy. Next, you want to price your book. I have come up with a formula that works very, very well for me. Oh, Miss Monkey 775 in the chat room says, hey, Cy, hey, how are you? Dropping Seed says, Bokers is good. We use them also. Okay, thank you. And Atlanta Talent Connection, thank you for joining us in the chat room. Today we have a half an hour show, so I want to make sure I get as much information to you as possible. Set your price. Here is my formula that works for me, and it works well. All of my books are 8.5 by 11, size 8.5 by 11. I'm sorry, 8.5 by 5.5, which is where you take a piece of paper and fold it in half. That's the size of my book. They all range between 140 and 175 pages. I use a size 11.5 font, not too big, not too small. And I price my books at $15. Because what happens is it's really good pricing when you only buy 500 copies of your book or 250 copies of your book. It puts your books at about $3 or $4, which some people would say is on the high side. But I'm not buying thousands upon thousands of books because at this point I don't want my money tied up in inventory. So I price my books at such a way that if I sell them for $15 retail, I'm still only getting probably, I don't know, half of that, $7.50, but I'm still making money. So that's really a good thing. You know, you want to make sure, because this is all about the numbers. We can sit and say we want to be this author and this speaker, but if the numbers don't work, you're wasting your time and you're wasting your money. So anyway, I think this formula works. I recommend it to all of my clients, 8.5 by 5.5, 140 to 170 pages. And if you're going more than 170 pages, save your content and just do another book. Simple as that. Just write another book. So that's something to know, is setting your price. Also, if I'm out doing a lecture or signing, I can always price my book at $10 and I still make money. So that's a good thing. Let me give you some good print companies that you can use to print your book. Some of the ones that I have used. I use instantpublisher.com. I absolutely love it, and they've been printing my books for the last 5 years. You can use printforless.com, P-R-I-N-T, the number 4, less.com. And there's a bunch of others. You can also do print on demand where you don't even have to pay anything. You email them a copy of your work. And then once you email them a copy of your work, if someone buys your book, they print it, ship it, do everything, and then mail you your money or email you your money. Or they can deposit it, you know, they email the money to you. I mean, they electronically deposit it into your account. That doesn't work for me because I lecture for a living. So you all know what I do to make my money. I lecture. And so if I'm out lecturing, I would be leaving money on the table if I'm out talking about how awesome God is, and then they have to go home to their computer and order the book. I want them right then, right there, to buy that book, to buy that CD, to buy that product. So I like to have products with me. So print on demand does not necessarily work for me. But I'll tell you where print on demand does work. As the owner of a speaker management agency, I have products that I teach speakers how to become better speakers. So my client base for that, they are spread all over the globe. So in an instance such as that, print on demand really, really works. Oh, Drop and Seed Radio also just told me 48hourbooks.com works. That's the number 48HOURbooks.com. So thank you very much. So it's 48hourbooks.com. Okay, cool. Thank you. But print on demand works because I teach a course how to make motivational speaking your day job. Someone in California can log on, buy how to make motivational speaking your day job, pay for it with their credit card, the POD company ships it, and then they send me my money. So in an instance such as that, it works well because I don't physically see this person and I really don't need to. All I need to know is that they're getting a good quality product, they're getting a good book, and hopefully they'll read it, like it, and tell their friends to buy more. The last thing is establish a publishing company. I really believe that you want to create a separate entity. I'm not big on mixing your personal money with your business money. It's not something that I think is really a good idea unless you have a very savvy accountant. And I just feel if you are growing, you know, I really believe there's a distinction between being self-employed and running a business. But when you're self-employed, yourself is your business. Even if you just register it as a sole proprietor, I just think you should always be protected. This is not legal advice. I'm just telling you what I think, just, you know, what I think is the best thing. But consult all of your professionals. Oh, wait a minute. It's 48-hour books, which is the number 4, the number 8, and then HRbooks.com. So sorry about that. It's 48HRbooks.com. Thank you for the clarification. You know I'm trying to give everybody the best information so that they can do really, really well in their life, experience success, just kind of be the best person they can. And, you know, sometimes we goof up, and Dropping Seed is just such a faithful listener who I love so, so dearly, virtually. We've never met. But thank you for that wonderful, wonderful information. Today we have a 30-minute show just because I am being honored this weekend. I think I shared with everybody at the Unlock Your Dream Conference, and then I'm booging off to vacation. So since I have done this show, I've never done an abbreviated show, but I know you guys and dolls will forgive me. And it's just for today. And if you really want to know the truth, it's because I'm going to get my hair done. So that's why I have to cut down the show. But we're going to have a full one-hour show tomorrow when we have April Silver, and definitely we'll have a one-hour show Friday when we have Felicia Pride on the show. Before we wind down, I just want to make sure I pray us out as I always do. And sometimes I feel rushed when I'm giving our prayer, and that doesn't sit well with me. So I'm making sure today we have enough time to really get through our closing prayer and we have our prayer of protection, because I don't think it's something that we can rush through. Oh, my goodness, one more quick quote. Congrats and happy vacation. Get your hair did. Well, you know what? I'm going to visit my mom. My mom was diagnosed with ovarian cancer last year on August 8th, which was her birthday, and they diagnosed her with stage 3, which means you're, like, about to go. And we are celebrating that she is still here with us one more year. And so her birthday is Friday. My son's birthday is Saturday, August 9th. So we're just all going to have a good time eating barbecue, eating Mexican, and vegging out and playing Monopoly. So I'll be gone a few days, but I am doing the show from her house. And that is in the middle of the country. So, yes, I'm going to get my hair did, because, you know, when your cousins come around, they're always looking. But thank you. Thank you for allowing me to go get my hair done, everybody. Listen. Our prayer of protection is meant to protect us, meant to keep us covered, and keep us just all on one accord. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. Thanks, God, and so it is. Oh, Miss Monkey 775. Oh, I know who this is. This is probably Tiffany's mom. You are the greatest. Have a great vacation. Thank you. And I am getting The Course in Miracles. I was recommended to get a good book, and I did not get it yesterday, so hopefully I'll get it and I can read it. I hope it's not too, too big. I thought I had it in my library. Everybody, I will see you all back here tomorrow. I love you all for listening. I really, really do. God bless you all, and I'll talk with you all tomorrow. Bye. Oh, yeah. Use those tools. I will. I definitely use those tools. Bye, everybody.